Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash. Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to Musicals with Cheese, a very bonus special episode where I interview a couple wonderful people. And today, the wonderful people I have is Amanda Hunt, who is an actor, comedian, writer, and currently she is having a presentation of her new cabaret musical, so to say. Is that the best way to describe it?
I think that's right.
It is called Monica Lewinsky Sings Her Heart Out, or Sings Your Heart Out. Forgive me. Let me just start that read again. It is called Monica Lewinsky Sings Your Heart Out, and it will be playing August 15th at, what is it? I'm looking for the location.
The Crane Theater.
It'll be playing at the Crane Theater August 15th and August 22nd, both of those at 7:30 p.m. So welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, no, thank you so much for giving me your time and coming on to my little show here. So, just the first question out of the gate, how would you describe yourself, your art, your artistic goals, for those who may not have heard of you before?
So just a casual question. I would describe myself, I'm 5'8", single. I guess I would describe myself as a comedian first with, I have a musical theater background. I went to school for musical theater at the University of Arizona and came to the city to do that. That didn't really pan out, and we can kind of get into that later, I guess. I went to UCB on a whim just to like get on stage and do something fun, and I never really left the Upright Citizens Brigade. So I perform there every other week, and then I do some sketch there as well. And I started working on cabarets and writing sketch and writing other things. So I guess like that, all of it comes from loving to be on stage and then being like, oh, I should write stuff for myself. Oh, I guess I can write stuff for other people too, which is really fun and exciting. So I'm an actor, writer, singer, administrative assistant, the whole nine.
That's fantastic. So you've always had musical theater in your bones, so to say.
Yes. Yes. Growing up, my family would always watch The Sound of Music, Fiddler on the Roof, Wizard of Oz, and Mary Poppins were like the, and Oliver. Those were the ones that were in like very heavy rotation, which like it's wild that Oliver is a children's musical because it is a very dark musical.
Yeah, it is. It is grim.
Mm-hmm. Just that, you know, a casual domestic violence, murder, suicide, just thrown right in at the end. And that's a bummer. But, you know, Oliver finds love. Spoilers for Oliver. But he does find a family. And so I guess it's fine.
I mean, I feel the same way when I watch The Sound of Music, and right as soon as like you see them get married and you think the movie's over, you get a swastika in the middle of the screen.
You're like, oh, the Nazis.
Oh my gosh. That's still here.
I did think this was just about a family of things, but I guess that's too bad. That's too bad.
Those were deep impacts on you. Are there any more modern musicals that you feel have had an impact on both your current work and your like your comedy and all that?
Oh, yes. I'm a huge Tom Kitt fan. So I love Bring It On. I love High Fidelity, it's like there are songs that I love and there are songs that like I wouldn't personally want somebody to find on shuffle on my phone. And then Debbie Does Dallas is so fun. Gosh, I obviously Hamilton, but like Hamilton is something that I enjoy, but don't really like feel too much proprietary ownership over, you know, where there are things where you're just like, oh, I just like that. Let's see, what else do I, more modern? I mean, I guess Stephen Schwartz in the summer between freshman year and sophomore year, my community theater did Godspell. And I feel like that was a really formative experience for me as a performer and as somebody who learning how to collaborate with other performers. So that's a big one. Then I guess Wicked. Right now, the things I'm really into, Kerrigan and Loudermilk. I'm like, you know, when you just go through a period of your life and you're like, all I want to hear is these beautiful ballads. Like, I don't want to, I just want to hear their gorgeous love songs about like wistful 20s love. I'm really into both the Broadway and West End versions of Heathers. Right now, love Heathers the movie, love the musical, would have, or I guess it's the off-Broadway. I would have loved to see that come to Broadway. Maybe, hopefully
with
it
some
will.
Of the things that came to Broadway, it makes me sad that Heathers never saw a Broadway stage.
Right? Out of everything? I mean, I guess if it's
not
around the same time,
shit on anyone else's shows.
You know what? Everything on Broadway is wonderful, and God, wouldn't yes. I love to get there. But like... I loved Mean Girls, which is how I found Heathers, because of Barrett Weed.
Wilbert,
I think.
Weed?
Yes, Barrett Wilbert Weed. I thought she was so good, and then it was like, oh, she was in Heathers. Oh, Heathers is so good. So that's always, it's always exciting to like find stuff from artists that you like.
I agree completely. Now, here's just a fanboy question. Do you have a preference between the original and the West End version of Heathers?
That is... Okay, so yes, but it's complicated. I would say I prefer the US version in terms of like the, I think it's a little bit more fun, but I love that song I Say No that's mm-hmm. on the UK soundtrack. So like I go back and forth. I think they're both really good, but they are very different to me.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a preference between You're Welcome and Blue?
How does Blue go?
You make my balls so blue.
Oh,
you hurt them badly.
Yeah, that's a better song. I think that's a better song for me personally. Like, it's funny and it's like really upsetting. Like, I think
yes.
it does like the highest goal of comedy where you're like, oh, now I'm thinking about this thing and I am laughing, but this is terrible.
It has that right, it rode the line, same line that the Heathers movie rode, that kind of makes you feel upset about what you're laughing at, but also you can't stop laughing at it.
Yes. I really do wonder if Heathers, because of how much violence there is in schools, because of the school shootings, if that's why we'll never see it on Broadway.
Probably.
Which, that's fair. You know, like, of all the things that I've been sad about, that feels very fair.
Yep, and I completely agree with that. But back on to you. I want to talk about what made you choose the Monica Lewinsky scandal to frame this cabaret musical around?
So I have been doing characters since like 2015. Characters such as scary dance teacher and child who's leading a Braveheart rebellion, you know, beloved characters that we're all familiar with. And I started trying to do impressions and I'm like, okay at them. Some of them I'm good at, but most of them like, I'm okay. I do like a fun Nancy Grace and a fun Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And I started trying to build a political character set with like Mitch McConnell and gosh, I can't even remember who else was in it. Whoever was like, very hot like 2.5 years ago, I tried to like put this set together and I thought Monica would be interesting, but Monica is not so much of a like one note caricature. She's so interesting and her story is so complicated. And I've been doing cabarets separate from my comedy in the city since 2010. And I thought like, oh, maybe like maybe that could be something interesting. I was in a class at UCB on how to build your own show in November of 2017. And I was like, I think I want to build something around Monica Lewinsky, but I don't know the direction. So I brought in like a bunch of different drafts of things. And then I brought in this song, a parody song of Crime of the Century from Ragtime, changed to be the lyrics of the Clinton impeachment scandal. And that was like, oh, this is the show. Like, I don't know what else this is going to be, but this feels like something that's real and compelling. And so, you know, it was inspired a little bit by Evelyn Nesbitt and like The Girl on the Swing. And so like all of the songs in the show are parody songs, either from pop culture or from musical theater. And they're all chosen pretty carefully to like evoke in your mind a moment from that musical, but like mapped on to the Monica Lewinsky story. So, you know, like the first song is science fiction and we go back to the 90s in that song. So it's like a time warp kind of feeling. But like if you don't know Rocky Horror, you don't know that song, it's not like, oh, this is like it doesn't take away to not know it. But if you are a musical mm-hmm. theater fan, it gives you a lot more depth and understanding of the show, I think.
And that's what parodies should do. They shouldn't have to rely on you seeing the source material, but if you have seen the source material, it helps.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what screamed out to you, like, this is perfect material to use? Like, what screamed out to you, this needs to sing?
Well, I always want to sing all the time. So, I don't remember who said this. Probably someone famous. Definitely not me originally. But, you know, in musicals, people sing when their emotions are too big to speak anymore. And I feel like we're there with her and there with like believing women and listening to women's stories. It's like we've heard the podcasts. We've certainly heard a million awful late night jokes and a million bad takes. But it's like what she must have gone through and the way she writes about it in Vanity Fair and talks about it in her TED Talk and on Last Week Tonight and other places, the emotions are so big. It feels like music is the right place to capture them.
Mm-hmm. And I think you did that brilliantly. I was looking at some clips today and I was just like, oh, wow, this really sings
in a way
that I didn't expect. Like, sometimes you just hear something, like, I'm sure a lot of people heard Hamilton and was like, what? And like this, I was like, oh, let's take a look. And then I was like, oh, this works, especially in the setting that you have it as a cabaret. It really works.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I feel like cabaret is so fun because it gives you, especially like I like to collaborate with people a lot. But when you're doing a one woman show, you're kind of alone. But cabaret gives you a little bit of like give and take with the audience, which I feel like is so rewarding and so fun.
Mm-hmm. Now, you usually do a lot of stand up, and I'm curious as to what is the difference between preparing a stand up set and preparing a comedic cabaret set?
Oh boy, hours and hours of work, I would say, is the difference. It's when you do stand up is so much fun, and it's so nice because it's like, oh, right now I'm wearing jeans and a sweater. And if someone was like, oh, hey, can you do some stand up? I'd be like, yeah, give me 5 minutes to just kind of look over and pick out my jokes. And then I'll go up there and do it. So there, it's still a grind where you have to be going to open mics all the time and always writing and always thinking critically about stuff and being like, well, that doesn't work. Let's change that word. But cabaret is like, there are just so many more elements, you know, where it's like, well, the jokes have to be funny, of course, but then you also want to be able to like hear the piano player and make sure they have the right information and make sure that like you are really letting yourself be in that moment. I do feel like they inform each other really well because whenever you're standing on stage, the biggest, hardest thing for me at least is to like, the thing I've worked on the most, I guess, is to stay present and stay connected to whatever I'm doing in that moment. I think stand-up helps you do that the most of any art form because you really, if you go away, you lose the audience. And like, if you're doing a musical or a cabaret or anything else, and there's a moment where people aren't laughing, it's fine. But if you're doing stand-up and all of a sudden the room falls like a rock, it's like, oh, you have lost this energy. You have to figure out how to get it back. So I think that makes me a better actor and a better cabaret performer and better at everything else, because it gives you such a sense of like how to have that give and take with an audience.
Mm-hmm. So my next question is just about you personally as a performer. Who are your biggest influences as both a performer, musical theater wise, as well as comedy wise?
Oh, gosh. I would say, I mean, obviously, Julie Andrews, you know, she's got those kids out, and that's, we can never forget that. I would say Linda Eder is a huge, I love her voice. I love the Wildhorn group of musicals. I love her in them. More on the comedy side, I would say like I am very different from, but aspire to be like Nicole Byer, who I think is probably one of the funniest comedians alive and working today. John Early is somebody whose character work in his stand-up I think is really fun and really like an inspiration to me. In terms of, I was just listening to a podcast that had Anthony Tamanic on it. He does a Donald Trump impression and had a Donald Trump show on Comedy Central. And he talks about like, well, I like give them the impression, I give them a little bit of what I want and then, or what they want. And then I get to say what I want. Like I get to like give my opinions on what's going on and what I think is important for people to be paying attention to. And I thought that was so like, that was so interesting. And I listened to it the morning, my show went up last Thursday, August 8th. And it was just like, that is what I'm doing. You know, like it's really cool to hear somebody else put what you want out of your work into their words. Obviously, he wasn't talking about me, but it was very impactful.
That's great. I like that you bring up Linda Eder, because I think she has a very huge stamp of musical theater as is right now, and she doesn't quite get the respect that she deserves.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
And so that really made my like little Jekyll and Hyde fan heart like flutter.
I mean, that musical is so good. I love Jekyll and Hyde much more than like, you know, people are ashamed of their love of Jekyll and Hyde, and I am not ashamed. I will not hide.
The thing about Jekyll and Hyde is like some productions are great. Like I've seen just as many terrible productions as I've seen great productions.
Very fair. It is a show about like huge emotions and huge swings. And if you miss, you miss. I agree with that.
Like just as many brilliant productions there have been bad productions, and mm-hmm. It really depends on the cast and what you can do with it. So I get why it gets a bad rap, but I don't think it's fully deserved. But either way. I've got a question about performing in a cabaret. What do you do to prepare for a cabaret performance? It's like writing a piece of musical theater and then mixing it up with the timing and humor of a stand-up set. Like, how do you go about writing that?
Well, so for Monica, it's like a different experience because it's a narrative arc. So that was the way I went about writing the Monica show, was to like kind of pick the moments that I wanted to talk about her, and then also about present day political, our present day political environment, and then kind of go back and like make all of that make sense. With a regular cabaret, I've worked with my partner, Kate Wolf, for years on different cabarets. We've done them together. I think we've probably done six at this point. And basically what we do is we pick songs that we each have been dying to sing and songs that we want to sing together. And then we put them in the order that we think makes the most sense for the show, like makes the show feel like, okay, so we don't have like too many slow songs next to each other, too many, like, it's not like, oh, a big pocket of funny and then like a bunch of sad songs for a while. Like we try to make it feel musically even. And then we go through and say like, oh, I want to like tell a story before this song. Like, okay, one of our more recent cabarets, and it's been a few years, I think. But I sang that Puddle of Mud song. Do you swear on this podcast?
Yes, swear as much as you want.
You know the song "She Fucking Hates Me." So I was like, oh, that would be fun to sing. I'm gonna sing that, and I'll tell a story beforehand of like when I had just moved to the city and was like working in restaurants, and somebody was like, I don't know why you're working in restaurants, you could get a sugar daddy. And I was like, I'm insulted, I'm a feminist, I'm gonna go drink some margaritas with my friend. And then later that night we were like, let's just go online and see. So then I ended up signed up, we both were curious, but only I ended up being signed up for sugardaddy.com. And I used my real name, and I was like, well, it's a 3-day trial. So at the end of the 3 days, I'll just pull myself off and it'll be fine. And at the end of the 3 days, I couldn't get myself pulled off. And I couldn't access my account because it was like the three days were up. So I'm just like on that site forever. Which is very funny. Like, I'll occasionally get a message that I can kind of see in my, like, I'll see a little preview of it in my email. So I talked about like joining sugardaddy.com and like, oh, what would my life be like if I had like taken a different path? And then I sing this Puddle of Mud song. So that's like an example of like, what's a funny story and like, how does it contrast really well to something that I'm trying to do? But sometimes you'll look at the show and you'll be like, well, we don't really need an intro here. The song is like, obviously powerful enough and meaningful enough without words, and words might just diminish it. So it's like figuring out it, I guess every show you put on, it's like, well, what's the best flow? Like, what's going to like feel the most satisfying to us and hopefully to the audience, but you know, you got to write for your own taste.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of your own taste, I was going to ask you about lyric writing rules, because I've had other lyricists describe them to me. And I was wondering if you had any rules for yourself in lyric writing, like only perfect rhymes or like things like that.
Oh, my gosh. What a disciplined writer I would be if I did have those things. I mean, my number one rule is like, I don't want to feel embarrassed to say it. Like if it feels like cheesy or like it was like, oh, well, this rhymed, so it makes the most sense. Like, I'm okay for things not to rhyme if it's funny or if it stands out in a fun way. But if it's like, oh, I can't find a good rhyme for this, then I'll go back and change the whole lyric. But I'm pretty casual. It doesn't have to be a perfect rhyme. It should be something that's interesting. And the original director of the show, Michael Hartney, who had to step down to become artistic director at the Upright Citizens Brigade, he, when I was originally writing the lyrics, he was like, you are repeating these lyrics, and when you write a comedy song, you shouldn't repeat lyrics. Every lyric is a new opportunity for a joke. Which is so smart.
I love that attitude.
Right? You know, what a good way of thinking of it. And like, if you're writing a song for a real musical, you would want to have lyrics repeat because it's satisfying for the audience, and like it makes sense musically to have them build in the show, like, you know, for the cast. But when you're writing comedy stuff, it's like everything should be a surprise. Like, surprise is the biggest thing that makes people laugh. So that, I guess, is a rule that I have. If it's specifically for comedy, you can't repeat lyrics without... it has to be super, super comedically earned. Otherwise, get something new in there.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Now, another question about performing as a cabaret. It's a little bit of a different mood set than, say, like an actual theater performance. So I'm always wondering, do you ever find yourself getting heckled at these cabaret performances? And if so, how do you usually go about handling them?
Oh my gosh, what a good question. So I did 15 minutes of this show at a bigger comedy show not too long ago. And there was an audience member who had really been having a party before she got there and continued having a party in the room. And she was heckling all these poor stand-ups to the point where the stand-ups were like, shut up. Like, truly just like telling her, like, you have to stop. This is horrible. And so then I'm like, oh no, I'm playing a character, and I'm playing Monica Lewinsky, who I try to be really respectful. Like, I admire Monica Lewinsky. I never want to make her the joke. she can tell the jokes, but she's never the joke. So it's like, I don't want to get up there and have her be heckled by this drunk woman and like make that feel that just feels, because like, heckle me all you want. Like, I'm a stand up. I mean, please don't heckle me. But like, if you do, I don't want to invite that. But like, if you do, it will be fine. But playing Monica is different, because Monica would never tell somebody to like shut the fuck up in the way that I would. So it's like, oh gosh, what am I going to do? So this woman, as soon as I get up there and start singing, she stops. She stops heckling. She just quietly listens. And I was like, yes, oh, I've nailed it. And then I get to this part of the show where I start talking, and she yells out, oh my gosh, she yells out, just shut up and start singing.
Oh God.
And I think I said something like, is my mother here? Like, I, you know, like, you just try to, the audience also hates this heckler, but you right. can't be weak in front of them. So I feel like the best way to address it is like to make a light joke. And then if that doesn't work, if it's a cabaret where I'm just playing myself, I don't mind kind of getting a little bit tougher and being like, okay, so actually you have to book this space. You can't just perform here without booking in advance. And I actually have the space reserved right now, so be quiet. But playing Monica, I don't want to be like, I'm so much more careful of, and like try to be sensitive, because it's already a little dicey for me to say like, oh, I'm playing the voice of Monica Lewinsky. Like, my show is written very heavily influenced by everything that she's written and her words and the things that she has said about the Clinton impeachment scandal and like what she's been through. But I am always very mindful that like, this is someone I respect, and this is someone who I ultimately would love to see the show or be part of it in some way. So I don't ever want, even for a second, to forget like, she's not the joke of this show. She's telling the jokes in this show. And so it's like, you have to balance that. So if it's, when it's hecklers on my own, yeah, you can go scratch hecklers. But when it's hecklers with Monica, I try to be a little more sensitive.
That's such a great answer. I never even thought about the fact that you're not just representing yourself up there anymore. You are representing a character who is a real life figure. So that is a terrifying line to walk down, the more I think about
it. It definitely gives me anxiety. Like, for a little while, I was really hoping she would see this run. And then I got nervous that she would see it, which, like, just because she's been through so much. God knows, I don't want to see her to see a show of herself that she doesn't like. But the show is written with such love and respect for her. So hopefully, I think the feedback I've gotten is that that really comes across, and I would be proud for anyone to see it.
That's fantastic. And now I got to jump back into my musical theater hole.
Oh, yeah. I'm
sure there is 100% some obscure references. And I don't want you to ruin like your best jokes here, but I am curious, what do you think are the most obscure references you snuck in musical theater wise?
There are two Jekyll and Hyde references. And I told my director, I was like, oh my God, well, it's that Jekyll and Hyde moment. She was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, okay, so only to me there, Jekyll and Hyde. Those are snuck in. Gosh, what else? There's so many like little moments. There's a lot of Chicago snuck in there. There's a lot of, there are a lot of themes. The show, there's only one song in the show from Into the Woods, but I do feel like there is a little bit of a thematic influence from Into the Woods. Like, everyone tells their own story in the show. Like, all the characters that I play in the show, their goal is to tell their story from their perspective. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they come off well. It just means like they think they're coming off well. And I feel like that's very Into the Woods, to have these characters who want things and want to tell their stories. And some of them come across really badly. And some of them you're like, oh, that's interesting. I thought she was pure evil, but there is actually something else that has happened there that's influenced that.
Let me just see if I can guess one of the Into the Woods or Into the Woods, Jekyll and Hyde references. Is it? It has to be the Monica Lewinsky and Hillary Clinton song, right?
You would think, but I mean, I guess that is. Then there are three.
I'm just staring at that. I'm like watching you like flip a wig back and forth, and I'm like, that has to be it.
It's not influenced by confrontation. I'll say that.
But like I heard you give some ragtime love in there too, which I feel like doesn't get nearly enough love nowadays.
Oh my god, it is one of the best musicals in my opinion. It's like I listen to it sometimes and then have to stop because it's like, oh, I'm crying. Like I'm crying in public just listening to this beautiful music. And it feels very relevant today. I'm really surprised that it hasn't been revived. If it does get revived and you're casting mother, please get at me. Dream roll. I feel like Monica's story has echoes of Evelyn Nesbit. You know, somebody who like was thrust into the spotlight as a very young woman after engaging with an older, much more powerful, much more famous man. And Evelyn Nesbit's story at the end of Ragtime, she doesn't get anything that she wanted. And I think what's beautiful is Monica's story ends up differently, you know, has ended up differently. She's such a powerful and compelling figure. But some of that is like, well, we live in 2019, not 1924 or whatever, where like women had so much less autonomy and so much less say in what happens to them.
That's incredible. And a good way to end this off. So Monica Lewinsky Sings Your Heart Out will be playing at the Crane Theater on Thursday, August 15th and Thursday, August 22nd at 7:30 p.m. And the Crane Theater is located on 85 East 4th Street between 2nd and 3rd Avenues in New York, New York. So is there anything else you want to say before we wrap this up, Amanda?
Oh my gosh, it has been a blast to take a little time, talk a little musical theater. I'm always so nervous because I was so in musical theater and then I really stepped back and now I feel like a fraud, but it's like, no, it's all still inside of you, you know?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but it is very common between musical theater people to feel like I'm not snobby enough to like it. Does that mean I even like it at all?
Yeah. Yeah. Like if I like the wrong Wild Party, which I do, I'm so ashamed.
Ooh, which Wild Party do you like?
Okay. There's the Lipa one. And then there's the, who's the other composer?
John Lechuzia. I think
yes.
I said that right.
Yes. Yes. I like the one that Idina Menzel and Taye Diggs fell in love doing. And I think that's the one that people are always like, well, that's not the real one. And it's like, but that's the one I love.
I actually had Andrew Lipa on the show and I just gushed about how much I loved his Wild Party. So I am with you. I am a Andrew Lipa Wild Party stan. As much as I appreciate the other one for everything it does and how much I like Mandy Patinkin and Eartha Kitt.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Idina Menzel singing Life of the Party. Like,
right. Queenie was a blonde and her age should still. Oh, I'm going to go listen to it right now.
Fun fact, Make Me Happy is still my alarm every morning.
That's beautiful. That's really, does it make you happy when you wake up?
No, it's not. It's not a very happy song to wake up to, but it sure does wake me up. I'll tell you that. Any song that ends with a gunshot, you're like, you're up.
I feel like I could never get to the end of a song with my alarm. I'm always like snoozing, turning off and running away.
Well, the thing about that song is I'm like, I want to get to the end. So.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I'll get up with the gunshot. Like you're running
basically
a relay during your day.
Because it's a 5-minute song and you're just like, well, I got 5 minutes before this ends before. And the gunshot means I can get up. Oh, but Amanda, anytime you want to come back on the show and talk about a musical, there's always a spot open for you. If there's any Wednesday evenings you will be free in the near future, feel free to reach out. We'd love to have you on.
Oh, thank you so much, Jesse. I absolutely will.
And all right, thank you guys for listening. Amanda, thank you so much for coming on. Please go check out Monica Lewinsky Sings Your Heart Out. It looks incredible. I really wish I could be there. I really do.
I wish so
I wish
too.
I was in New York that week.
Are you, where are you located?
I'm in Michigan. I'm in the ruins of Detroit.
Oh, wow. I would have guessed that you, because I'm from North Carolina, and there are a couple of things you say, and I was like, I wonder if he's in North Carolina, but no.
Oh, terrible Midwest.
Oh, no. There's it's so much great theater in the Midwest.
Oh, there is. I think I heard a statistic saying Detroit was like the second biggest theater city, but I feel like that was made up a little bit. But
the Detroit Visitors Bureau is working very hard, and we love them.
Yes, yes, exactly. I mean, we do get like all the national tours, like, and we're like the first stop on every national tour, so we get them when they're like plucky and excited, and not like 7 months down the road when they're like a little like, oh, we can't sing these songs anymore. But no, it's been great having you on. I really can't wait to see more of this because it looks incredible. And seeing the little clip that was on YouTube, it just wasn't enough. I need more. I need this like ejected right into my veins. It looks incredible. So congratulations to you on getting it done. I can't wait to see more of your work, Amanda.
Thank you so much for your time. Jesse. Thank you. Sorry. Thanks.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.